much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, black people, old people, poor people, and students. Guess what you all have in common?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And now I'm going to tell you what I know to be the 3 rules of show business. Number 1, look them in the eye and speak from the heart. Number 2, you got to go away to come back. And number 3, if someone asks you to keep a secret, their secret is a lie.
It angers me that people would fabricate a story like that.
You lie!
Chew on that, you clown.
And now,
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Our feature presentation.
Such a good movie.
I know.
Morning, both everybody. Both of those guys are dead. That makes me sad, by the way.
What's that?
Both of those guys are dead.
Yeah.
Peter Graves, Leslie Nielsen. Two of the best. Two of the all-time best.
Yeah. But the movie lives on.
Good
point.
Exactly.
Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Monday morning. What's going on, people?
But don't be suckered into watching Airplane 2 and think that you're going to enjoy
no,
it.
No. Airplane 2 is a hollow shell of Airplane 1.
It's the beginning of the bad twos.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know how they... I guess they just used every great idea they had in Airplane 1. So, hey, Lisa, what's going on?
Not much.
How are they?
They're good.
Good.
They don't change much, to
no,
be honest.
They look good.
Yeah.
They look good.
Thank you.
They start good, they remain good.
And beer mug?
Woo-hoo! Yep, still here.
Yeah.
Was that the question?
Yes, it's exactly what it was.
I wanted to see if there was no answer. You would have been thrilled.
Crickets.
I just thought maybe it's Columbus Day. He gets off or something. We'd have a break. Mm. I don't know. Hey, isn't it a holiday? What up, by the way?
It is for some.
There are people who are off today, right?
School, city employees,
yeah.
Probably federal employees. Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about a guy who's busy today and probably nervous. His name is Felix Baumgartner. He is trying to make history tomorrow. He's trying to be the first person to break the sound barrier, not in an airplane.
Well, in
what?
What
could he do it in?
He's jumping out of a helium-filled balloon 120,000 feet above the ground. Do the math. That's 23 miles up. He's jumping out of a balloon.
Are you essentially in space at that point?
Yes, you're just on the edge of space. Exactly, Lisa.
Oh, you need oxygen and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's wearing a space suit. Scientists have been weighing in. No one knows for sure how the whole thing is going to turn out. One scientist says his blood could boil, his lungs could overinflate, the vessels in his brain could burst, his eyes could hemorrhage.
Oh.
And yes, he could break his neck while jumping from 23 miles up.
All right.
He is 43 years old. He is a former military parachutist from Austria. He says, yeah, there are a lot of unknowns, but we have solutions to survive. He has a pressurized suit and helmet, and he says that they have been doing lots of tests just below that, and he will protect himself from the high altitudes and the lack of oxygen. Here's another doctor from the American Physical Society who says it has to protect him from the huge range of temperatures and pressures. If it isn't pressurized correctly or has a leak, he would blow up like a marshmallow in a microwave because
all
the pressure
right.
in the stratosphere is so small compared to the pressure pushing out from the inside of his body. The suit will also need to protect him from the extreme force he will experience while falling. The suit needs to make sure his blood flow continues uninterrupted, which can be a problem when he's exposed to the type of forces expected on this jump. So there's a fair amount that could go wrong on this thing, right?
Does it say how long he falls?
It doesn't say that here. That's a great question. I'd love to know. One of the unknowns is how the human body will react to approaching supersonic speeds. The effects of the transition to supersonic velocity and back again are not known. This is just one of the things we hope to learn, he says.
He's going to land in 1972. That's what's going to happen.
That'd be amazing.
He's going back in time, and this is how we discover it.
That would be awesome. Hey, look, Back to the Future, man. That's what you have to do. You have to get to a certain speed, and all of a sudden you jump, right? This is an opportunity to gather information that contributes to the development of life-saving measures for astronauts and pilots and maybe for the space tourists of tomorrow. It's going to be in New Mexico, and it's going to be tomorrow morning, starting at 11:30 Eastern, so 8:30. So while we're on the air tomorrow, he'll be high above New Mexico jumping out of this balloon. So maybe we'll have some resolution on this story tomorrow.
Man, oh, man.
If things go wrong, that would be pink mist, right? Really,
well,
there wouldn't be much.
Exploding from the inside out is That's one of those, you know, that's one of those things that I have for a rule of whether I should do something or not.
Right.
What's the worst that could happen? You could literally explode. Well, then I'm out.
It's very True Blood.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I wonder if it, if his body did explode from the inside out, if it would stay inside the suit. Would we just see a limp suit coming down?
I think so.
Or would the suit blow out, too, I wonder?
I think the suit would remain.
It would just be a giant balloon type thing. The suit has just exploded, but it still keeps it in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know how they're. I'm hoping they'll. You know, they have a way to put a camera on him the whole way down. I'd love to see what this looks like
when he blows up.
Yes,
or not. I mean, I just think 23 miles up. I mean, that's a great question, Lisa. How long does it take to fall 23 miles, and at what point does he parachute?
Yeah, that's a good question. He doesn't have to parachute till the very, very end, though. I imagine.
Right.
For
right,
that far.
Exactly. Yeah. Good times.
That'd be pretty cool.
If you make it,
if
you
it
bet.
Works, if you live, it'd be
if
cool.
If it works and you live and you don't explode from the inside out, that would be fun. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You know what? I'm going to say yes. I think, yeah.
All right.
Let's do this.
Good. How about that?
That's
a first.
Yeah.
We have Andrew Siciliano on the program today talking about the NFL.
Okay.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com talking about his site and all the celebrities over the weekend. We have Michael Chiklis on the show today talking about his new TV show, Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, I love Michael Chiklis so much.
He's great. The best.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this new anti-flopping NBA rule, but that's happening. Thank God.
I like it.
Thank God. The guys who fake the offensive charge so that they can get a call.
Makes you nuts,
They're
right?
completely flaking. Oh, faking. Yeah, it makes me nuts.
Yeah.
Vlade Divac is the Laker who used, well, really, is the NBA player who perfected that. People would get within 10 feet of him and he'd fall down. And I'm a Laker fan and I used to boo him so loud because I hated him so much. Not to mention he used to smoke during the game on the court.
That's amazing.
Well, maybe not on the court, but he smoked a lot.
Maybe this policy, if effective, they can use in soccer as well.
That would be great. That would be great. We also have from Muse, we're going to talk to Matt Bellamy today.
How about that?
How about
awesome.
That?
Fresh off the band's appearance on Saturday Night Live this weekend.
And we're going to explain to you our new contest, which is a strange thing. You win tickets to see Muse, and then you also have a chance to visit SpaceX with Muse.
Really?
Odd.
Yeah.
That's an odd...
Do you jump out of a hot air balloon?
It doesn't say. We'll have to check on that. But that's coming up, and thanks for that tweet, Bean, as well.
Oh,
how dare
I'm
you.
So
excited
happy.
About that in about a half hour. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Bean. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 552.
Hey, party people, welcome on into a Monday. A couple of concerts made news over the weekend as we take a look at our first showbiz report of the week. Jay-Z, you get a chance to watch any of that on Saturday night? They were live streaming that show from the Barclays Center?
No, I wish I would have.
I didn't see it either. He did eight nights there. That Barclays Center is the new place. It's going to be a concert venue, and also, of course, it's where the New Jersey Nets are going to be playing basketball. Jay-Z is a minority owner, and that's not a black joke. He just owns a tiny portion of the team. His wife, Beyonce, joined him on stage for a couple of numbers. They did a duet on Crazy in Love, where Jay-Z forgot to come in where he was supposed to start rapping. You don't see him make mistakes very often on stage. That's one of the unbelievable things about watching that guy is how incredibly on point he is.
Yep.
But he did miss his cue that time. They're going to be releasing an EP tomorrow. It's going to be available for download called Live in Brooklyn. It's a digital-only mini album. It's going to have 8 audio tracks and 8 videos. You can pre-order it up on iTunes right now. If you're a Jay-Z fan, you want to get the very latest, that's going to be available tomorrow.
What's that called?
It is called Live in Brooklyn.
Live in Brooklyn.
On iTunes. The other concert that made news over the weekend was right here in Southern California at the Hollywood Bowl. Peter Gabriel was performing in concert. He doesn't tour all that often, Peter Gabriel, by the way, so it's kind of a big deal when he comes to town. During the song In Your Eyes, which, of course, everybody remembers from the Say Anything movie,
sure.
Who walks out on stage holding a boombox over his head but
President
John Cusack?
Obama?
John Cusack.
Oh, I was going with Obama, too.
Because he's in town.
Yeah. That would have been amazing.
Walking out at a Peter Gabriel concert? That would have been a surprise.
With a boombox.
Sure.
Nope, it was John Cusack comes out there in the coat with the boombox, just like he did as Lloyd Dobler in the movie way back when in the 1980s.
That's a great moment.
That must have been a real treat, I imagine, for the people there. It's so funny because you're sitting there and you're watching that show, and everybody of a certain age who hears In Your Eyes, that's exactly what you're thinking. Is
sure.
John Cusack hold up the boombox? One of the most iconic movie scenes in history, right?
You would also think that he would be, and you see this in other actors, a little tired of going way back and reprising whatever role.
Yeah.
But he seemed to have been all right with it.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so you're thinking it, and then boom, it happens right in front of you. And by coincidence, maybe not a coincidence, maybe they're still friends, Cameron Crowe, who directed and wrote that movie, was also in the audience that night. So it was a little bit of a mini reunion Saturday night for Say Anything.
Listen, I know that he's a great singer, he's a great artist, Peter Gabriel, but how much interest is there to see him these days? I mean,
I just think he's one of those classics who had a string of hits that were so big that there'll always be an audience for it.
Huh.
You know? I mean, I can't imagine going to see him.
Right. You like songs of his.
Yes.
But yeah. You want to see Peter Gabriel in concert?
He's a little bit off the radar, right?
I don't know.
Rod Stewart, speaking of older rock stars, is also back in the news. And I only bring this up. It has nothing to do with his music and nothing to do with his new first ever Christmas album that's coming out this year. It has to do with an interview that he did with the Daily Mail where he said he got really sick of random sex back in the day in his rock star days in the 70s.
I hear him, you know?
Same old.
You know.
He was so tired of women just simply throwing themselves at it. Yeah, he went ahead and banged them, but he felt empty and depressed, Kevin, and he just wanted to meet a special someone and be in love.
Huh.
So much cheap, meaningless sex.
Oh, it sucks.
Look, Rod Stewart, there are some things in life you don't complain about, okay?
Yeah.
You don't complain about being too thin. You don't complain about being too rich. You certainly don't complain about too much random sex with hot chicks. I mean...
That is one of those things that people go, oh, poor you. It might be true.
Right.
It might be unfulfilling, and he might have had a long time where he didn't feel much. But keep that to yourself.
It just makes me think, wow, you're old.
Just get over it. By the way, he is on his third marriage now. So apparently he did eventually settle down and find someone and then was dissatisfied with that as well. And then found someone else and then didn't like that as much.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. The one partner thing can get old, too. Yeah. After a while.
Yes, indeed.
Quit your bitching.
Here's a couple that has made it. I have to be honest, even though we've known they were dating for some time, I'm a little bit surprised to see that Amber Tamblyn and David Cross got married over the weekend.
Well, how about that?
I like them both a lot. It's just you look at some people and you go, I don't get how that's a couple. Like, what on earth? They just don't seem like they're on the same wavelength. Clearly,
yeah,
we're wrong.
That is a bizarre couple.
Yeah.
It seems like it. Yeah, they got engaged last August. It is their first marriage for both, and they tied the knot on Saturday. Ben Affleck, also in the news this weekend. Now, this is pretty cool. Ben, by the way, seems like a cool guy. And
he
can't wait for this Argo, this new movie that he's directed. It just looks phenomenal. TMZ.com reported that he was in Santa Monica, and he sideswiped a Honda over the weekend. In fact, he knocked its mirror off. Ben Affleck did.
Was Lindsay Lohan with him?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because Lindsay Lohan, as you know, hits cars all the time, as does Amanda Bynes, and it never seems to go as smoothly as this. What do you think Ben Affleck did when he knocked a mirror off a Honda while he was out in Santa Monica?
Was it parked?
Yes.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Got out and left a note.
No, I'd imagine he got out and just replaced the car with a new one. Just put it right in the same spot it was.
He makes a phone call. Yeah. A guy shows up with the current model of whatever car that guy was driving.
Totally,
and has all of the dude's stuff just transferred over into the car. The dude comes back. He's got a brand new car.
Brand new car sitting there.
That's a great way to handle it. But no, he did. He got out and he left a note. Hi, I knocked off your mirror. I'm very sorry. I will cover everything. Here's my phone number, Ben. And sure enough, when the people called, it's Ben Affleck's phone number. Not
his
people.
Weird.
Here's Ben Affleck's home number. I'll take care of it. Let me hook you up. That's the classy way to handle a situation.
No, right? He doesn't know anything about Hollywood. In Hollywood, you run.
And hope the paparazzi didn't see
us.
Today's celebrity birthday is Chevy Chase, who used to have a sterling reputation in this town until a little show called Community that he refuses to quit and he refuses to stop trashing. He is 69 years old today. Daryl Hammond, one of the all-time great Saturday Night Live impressionists, turns 52 years old today. Bruno Mars is 27. Robert Cool Bell celebrating a birthday today. I think we all remember Beer Mug's interview with Cool from Cool and the Gang.
All right. Here at the Grammy Roundtable with Ronnie and Cool of none other than Cool and the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your biggest hits goes a little something like this. Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight?
No.
Nick Cannon, the host of America's Got Talent, is 32 today. Ben Affleck's best friend in the world, Matt Damon, is 42. Paul Hogan, guys, Crocodile Dundee, turns 73 today. Angus Jones, the half from Two and a Half Men, is 19. Isn't it about time for him to move out of that house?
No kidding.
Reverend Jesse Jackson turns 71 today. Emily Proctor from CSI Miami is 44. Sigourney Weaver is 63 today. And in for Ralph Garman this hour only, it's Kevin and Bean with the Showbiz. Had the Lumineers in on the show, what, a week ago? Maybe a little more? Very nice group of kids.
Yeah, agreed.
And performed live that song. I think we have some highlights of that up at krock.com, as well as some highlights from the Black Keys Breakfast that we did last week, the song we heard right before the Lumineers. You can find all of that at krock.com. or kevinabean.com. Michael Chiklis on the program today. Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Right now, the Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. It's our voicemail that you can call 24-7. What are people calling about today?
Well, apparently, beauty is not subjective.
Okay.
I thought it was. I thought we were allowed to like who we like, and you know, and then other people could like who they like.
No. I don't think that
It doesn't
works.
Work that way?
No.
Huh.
What the hell? Cat Deely? Really? That chick is fugly. It looks like somebody punched her in the face a couple of times. Her nose is crooked and broken. She's freaking spindly. She's got ugly legs. She's just annoying on every level. Whoever punched her in the face, by the way, I would love to buy a beer. What the f***, man? Cat Deely. I can't believe you gave her bells. You don't know. You know what? No. No. You guys are dead to me. You're dead. Dead to me. That's it. I'm done. F*** you.
You got to admire his spirit.
You sure do. Look, I get that I don't think she's hot, but she's certainly, no one could argue that she's ugly. Could they?
No. Oh, that's nuts.
How can you say that? You just heard a guy who spent 40 seconds doing that.
I'm just shocked by that. That's
crazy,
all.
Crazy woman. Who I love.
Michelle Holtzman wears long sleeves every day. I wear long sleeves to cover my tissue sample scar that proves that I am not HIV positive.
All right.
Wow. I thought she was going to say that I'm not an alien, by the way.
All right. Good tip. Thanks, crazy lady.
I want to see what she looks like so bad.
I know. I think it would
shock us all. She looks just like Cat Deely.
Crazy lady impression.
Amanda Bynes and Lindsay Lohan are carpooling together. They just bought a bottle of liquor at the drink store.
Kevin, you might run into her at the drink store.
He's able to make fun of her and me at the same time. Well done.
Gargling Listerine does not make it okay for Mitt Romney to not brush his teeth.
Okay. All right, noted.
Thank you for that.
Crazy lady on the Afro. Crazy lady behind a tree. I wish the children could see. Barack Obama tried to roofie me. And it's crazy lady on the Afro line.
The Afro line has turned into just comments on crazy lady.
And well, it should, because crazy lady brings it.
Barack Obama called me during the presidential debate. Right. I hung up on him.
Well, that's no way to treat the president.
That explains his poor performance. He was heartbroken.
He's calling during the debate. How? Did he have a secret phone someplace hidden behind the podium?
Halloween. Halloween spooks outside my window. Yeah.
DJ Omar, come on.
Nice.
Yeah, sound effects.
That's awesome. He's doing his own show.
That is well done.
There's nothing I like better than waking up and listening to Justin Bieber throwing up all over the place while I'm trying to have my breakfast.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin Bean. Fire beer mug.
That's a good point at the end there. But, yeah, we did talk to Justin Bieber, and he was a little under the weather, and that didn't go quite as well as we had hoped. But what are you going to do? Here's a guy who loves beef.
Before you guys go off the air, will you please try to do one break where Bean doesn't talk? He only uses his drop, fire beer mug.
Okay. That's Bean's ultimate goal, is to not have to talk, just to play audio from his computer. That would be perfect in every way.
Love it.
Hey, Ralph, you're wrong. The internet is not the only place to anonymously bash on people. What do you think this thing's for? The Afro line. That chick is fat.
All right. That was about the fat news anchor.
Newscaster, yeah.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. It's unusual that I listen to your morning show.
Speaking of which, this is the form of the letter the guy wrote to the fat news anchor. Exactly. And this guy would like to use that form so that he can, you know, tell his thoughts on our particular show and see. Let's see what he has to say.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. It's unusual that I listen to your morning show, but I did so for a very short time today. It sucks. I was surprised indeed to hear that Beer Mug is still on your show. Surely you don't consider him a suitable example for this community's young people, old people, or young people who look like old people. Sucking is one of the worst choices a person can make and one of the most dangerous habits to maintain. I leave you this note, hoping that you'll reconsider your responsibility as a local public personality to present and promote an anti-beer mug lifestyle. Fire Beer Mug. Love, Brian.
Dare you.
Well said. I mean, I think we should really take that to heart.
Well, you gotta think.
I can't fire him. We work for the government, and he's B-L-A-C-K.
I was not aware of that, but okay.
Oh, 1709. Oh, I literally have coffee coming out of my nose right now, but yeah. That was so worth it. Oh, fire bear back.
Wow, it's such a movement.
She's calling because you amused her with how bad you are, yet she PS's with Fire Beer Mug.
Yeah, this, for those of you that didn't hear it, thanks to Bean's tweet all weekend, it got retweeted. But this is a proud moment in my life.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say 1709? Huh?
1709?
What? Hold on.
Lisa?
What? I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but that wouldn't be 17 either, would
why
it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was right. A Moment with Kevin.
Not happening.
Did you give some thought over the weekend as to how your brain works?
No, I've given up on that a long, long time ago, Bean.
Okay.
That one to me is like just listening to somebody else. I love it. I could hear it all day. I wish it wasn't me, but it's sort of like listening to somebody.
All right, so you brought back Gunther. Bring back Chaka Roan. Beer Mug.
Bring back Chaka Roan? Really?
Wow. It's been a while.
All right. This exists.
This was last year's Gangnam Style.
It's a real thing.
Tell you, I still love it.
You still love it?
I still love it.
Me too. You need to change my ringtone to this.
This, by the way, just to bring all the threads of the Afro line together, is going to be Kevin in about 2 years.
2 years? You're giving me that long? Leave us a message for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
1709. Matt Bellamy, lead singer of the band Muse, joins us just after 7 o'clock this morning. We'll talk about their SNL appearance over the weekend, talk about the upcoming tour, dates at Staples Center, and also what his fascination is with space. That's all on the way. First, though, we got the lines filled up, right?
Yep.
Kevin says I was a dick in this situation. I don't see it.
Okay.
So we want you to help us right now with the Kevin Bean Scientific Survey. By the way, do we have a jingle for Kevin Bean Scientific Survey?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So that's
that's the first Muggs has ever heard of it.
So I'm on an airplane, and I'm in row two. And the lady in front of me says, lady in front of me is sitting there, and she can't sit in row one because row one apparently is some sort of an exit row where you're supposed to be an able-bodied person in order to assist others off the plane, I guess. It's one of those kind of deals, like sitting over the wing, right?
Right.
So the
so by their rule, she can't sit there.
She's not allowed to sit there.
Okay.
Right? She's 8 months pregnant.
All right. 8 months pregnant.
So the flight attendant says, you're not allowed to sit in that row. I'm sorry. You shouldn't have this seat. We have to find you another seat. So the lady stands up and she looks at me sitting directly behind her in row two and says, will you switch seats with me? And I said, no. Now, why am I a dick? I have the seat
no.
that I paid. I have the seat that I paid for that I wanted. Why
right.
should I get up and move to row one?
Because she's 8 months pregnant and can't sit in the seat they gave her.
What is your issue with her seat?
Well, my issue with her seat is I hate row one, first of all, because row one, you don't have any place to put your stuff in front of the seat. There's no seat in front of you to put your things underneath so that you can reach and get your iPod or get your book or whatever it is you want to access during the flight.
And you can't stand up.
And there's less leg room in row one than there is in row two.
All right, that's legit. He's
and
sure.
I'm 6'6".
Right, yeah. But then you see eight-month pregnant woman stand up, and you go, yeah, okay, of course, because she's...
Yeah, but I also see a whole bunch of other people on the plane that might
exactly.
not care.
There's a whole bunch of other people on the plane, and that's exactly what happened, is she ended up switching seats with somebody else. So somebody else went into row one, and she went to their seat. I think she went to row three.
I'm guessing row three didn't want to sit in row one either, but you know what? Sometimes you make yourself a little uncomfortable.
Well, I wouldn't have minded switching, but here's my issue with Bean, is I'm guessing he didn't do it in a very gentle...
Of course not.
...understanding way. I mean, if I were Bean, I would have explained my problem. Did you?
No.
No, I didn't want to turn it into a big thing where I take a bunch of other people's time while they're waiting to secure the cabin to take off. So I just said, you know what? I'd rather not.
Dick.
I don't think I owe her an explanation either,
little,
by the way.
Well, you don't, but it's a little...
But it's polite.
It's, yeah, it's...
I chose the seat that I wanted to sit in on the airplane.
Yeah,
she was able to sit someplace else. So everybody wins. I get my seat. She gets her seat. Somebody else gets her seat. Kevin,
Lisa,
you still think I'm a dick?
I do, yeah.
The way you did it, now I have to go with
this. The problem is, it could be, Lisa could be right, is that we know you, and you were just like, no.
There's a nice way to do that, and you didn't do it.
Do I have an obligation? All right, if I had done it in your words nicely,
yes.
I don't have any kind of obligation to switch seats with somebody. If I have specifically chosen a seat that I want to sit on the plane, I shouldn't give it up for a less comfortable seat, should I?
I don't think so.
Am I being asked to do that?
But wait a minute. Hold on a second.
I'm not the one who got her pregnant.
It's not. Yeah. If you could say, let me tap that. No. I think it is. It's just the kind thing to do for somebody whose clearly needs are more important than yours.
Okay, but you do know when you book a seat.
Of course.
You know if you're on the emergency row or not.
Of course.
And if you're pregnant, you also know you shouldn't be there.
Agreed.
Right?
Probably.
So it's on her.
Probably.
It is a little bit on her.
I'm looking at her. She's made a lot of bad decisions lately. She ended up with a baby in her, and she ended up sitting in a seat she's not supposed to sit in. Now she's going to strangers to remedy her problems. That's all I know.
But Bean did nothing to soften the blow.
I agree.
That's what makes probably 50% of what makes the dick move.
Right.
50% is you move because she's 8 months pregnant. The other 50% is you just going, no, bitch.
I didn't quite
you called her
like
a bitch. That's true.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
All right. We take as few as three calls, as many as five, I guess, to see whether I'm a dick or not. You've heard the evidence from both sides. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, let's just blow through these real quick and get yes or no votes on whether I'm a dick.
Al, dick or no?
Dick.
All right. Thank you.
One.
All right. I don't think this is going to go well for you, Bean. Chris, dick or no?
You're a dick.
Maybe they're just calling because they want to say that.
It's our new game.
They're saying it violently,
it's
too, by the way.
It's our new game, dick or no. It's not. Well, I've considered it being that decided you didn't handle it well. They're excited to be able to get on and call me a name.
Yeah, this is getting muddy.
One more vote will sink you, Bean. Esty, okay. Hi. Dick or no?
Because of it being a big, fat, hairy dick.
There you go.
Oh.
All right.
Wow, we don't need any more calls.
Bean's a dick.
Bean's a dick. 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 What a dick. 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 Bean's a dick. 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 What a giant pig. Dick. Bean's a dick. Dick. Dick.
That's fine.
Bean's a dick. Dick. Dick.
It's not over.
Bean's a dick. 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 What a dick. Dick.
Only took three votes, Bean.
Bean, 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 Bean is a dick.
All right, come.
Bean, 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 Bean is a dick. Dick.
All right.
Dick, 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 dick.
Pat Bellamy from Muse is on the way.
Dick, dick, Bean is a dick. Bean is a giant dick.
Stop
dick,
it.
Dick, dick, dick.
Not to put too fine a point on it.
Got a huge 7 o'clock hour for you, including actor Michael Chiklis talking about his new show, Vegas. Also, Matt Bellamy from Muse, and we'll give you tickets to see Muse at Staples Center. So, I guess preseason basketball has begun.
Yes.
Most people can't watch it on TV anymore, which is a different subject altogether. But there is a new anti-flopping rule in effect. Lisa, you know what flopping is on the basketball court?
I do. It's when you pretend like you were fouled and you fall to the ground.
And a lot of times your arms up and you're just trying to get the ref to make a false call.
Right.
They're trying to call charging just because you went flying.
Right.
And it's been something that has been really, really bad in the NBA for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are some players, Kevin Martin, for instance, for Houston, Manu Ginobili from, is he San Antonio now?
Yeah.
He plays for San Antonio.
I think.
Those guys, I mean, you just know every time they're on, if a guy gets near them, they're going to fall down and act like they broke their back.
Yeah,
it's like
I mean,
gravity doesn't work on them.
Right.
Yes. It does nothing but slow down the game. And now the NBA is really, really serious. I mean, these fines that they're talking about, I mean, they're talking about a warning, and then they start in with the $5,000 fine and then a $10,000 fine. Every time you do it, it's going to cost you big, big money.
And by
is
the
that
way,
you personally?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. A. And B, it's not during the game. They'll go back and look at the instant replay, the video later on after the game, and they'll get every angle with the video replay, and they can tell if you're flopping, and then they will give you one warning, and then it goes right to $5,000.
Oh, I like it.
You guys remember Vlade Divac?
Of course.
Yeah.
He used to be on the Lakers, and I hated that guy. I'm a Laker fan, and I would boo him so much because anybody that came into the key, he would just go flying. I mean, it was 10 times worse than any player ever in the NBA.
I remember when he got traded away from the Lakers in the 90s, you practically had a parade. You were so happy.
And then
when they brought him back in the 2000s or something, you were so depressed.
I can't stand. It's not just that they're flopping, because the NBA is a pretty tough league. And if somebody runs into you, they do pretty much tell you if you stay standing, you're not going to get a charging fall,
mm-hmm.
a foul. So you do have to go to the ground. But don't fake it. That's the thing. If you don't get hit, don't fake it. And I hated Vlade for that. I used to boo him so loud at Lakers games because every single time he would flop. He's so lucky he's not playing in the NBA right now.
Well, we wanted to find out what his thoughts are on this new anti-flopping rule. Former Laker Vlade Divac joins us on the phone right now. Retired now 6 or 7 years, I think, but still keeping an eye on the game. Hi, Vlade.
Well, good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are you?
Well, we're fine.
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're good.
What are you up to, by the way? What are you doing these days with yourself? What's a 7-foot-1 guy do post basketball to make a living?
Smoking.
Yeah, that's how you make a living.
Yeah. I'm a cigarette quality control expert now.
Professional smoker. I see. Okay.
Yeah, they come up the assembly line, and I have a couple drags of each batch to make sure they still have the smoky goodness.
You smoked a lot when you were a Laker. I think you smoked on the bench sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes during the game I would smoke.
Occasionally before a free throw.
because you want to calm your nerves.
Now, are you living back home, and where are you from? Yugoslavia, right?
Yes, I'm a gypsy. I'm all over. I'm traveling all the time now to take advantage of my free time.
Oh, is that right?
I go from place to place just trying different cigarettes in different areas.
I see.
I go on smoking trips, basically.
Smoking trips. All right.
What about this new rule? You heard us talk about it before we...
I hate it.
Anti-flopping. You're not for that, huh?
This rule is horrible, this rule. It's a horrible rule. First of all fouls, in my opinion, anything called on you by referee should happen during game.
Okay.
You don't want the league afterwards to start looking at the game tape and deciding who gets foul called on them and who doesn't.
Right, but in the speed of the game, it's sometimes impossible to make a good call. And then they go back and they can see, wow, that Vlade, he really did just throw himself to the ground.
But now they're going to be looking at tapes of players and assigning fouls after games. I mean, what a waste of time
and
money for people to be doing. This is a horrible, horrible idea.
Well, I mean, that's legitimate.
As you yourself mentioned, often the referees do not see the fouls during the games, and the only way to indicate that you were charged or that the person that hit you is to is fall ground.
Right, but falling to the ground when no one hit you, which was your specialty. It was your specialty.
Hey, I don't like that accusation from you.
They would come within 10 feet of you. What happened?
Vlade?
Why did you push me like that when you said that question?
What are you talking about?
We're on the phone.
Push you?
Is that how you get your point across? By pushing a person when you're talking to them?
I can't push you on the
phone.
What happened?
Oh, I can't believe you would shove me like that just while we're having conversation.
You're not following while we're talking on the phone. I mean, are you?
Why have you pushed me?
We're not pushing you. We're just
5,000 miles away from you right now. We can't touch you.
Oh,
hey, no.
Why do you have to say like that? Just agree with me, and then everything will be okay.
But you were bad.
Why do you have to get physical?
You're still bad.
Physical with that?
Nobody's getting physical. We're just saying you were the worst flopper.
Oh, come on. That's not right. Hey, right. Is someone going to stop this person?
You're going to kill the poor man, Kevin. Back off.
Hey, I can't even get up. Oh, you see,
I would like to kill him.
Okay.
All right, Lonnie. Okay.
All right. That's going to leave a mark.
That's going to be a $7 million fine. All right. Okay.
Matt Bellamy from the band Muse joins us right after the top of the hour from New York City. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this Monday morning. Taken 2, as expected, was the number one movie of the weekend. I don't know if anyone expected to take in $50 million in
its debut. Wow.
That's more than double than the original Taken made in its debut weekend. So a lot of people are excited about
this. And I saw Taken 2, and it's about half the film that Taken was. Well, it's just so formulaic, and for me to complain about that.
It is. Taken was, and I think the reason Taken was a surprise hit, is that Taken was a sort of a one-off story about a man in ridiculously complicated circumstances once in his life.
Right.
The involvement of his family with his past profession and everything else, that's what kind of made it a cool, exciting movie. When you try to go back and then just warm over that concept and dish it up again, you end up with leftovers.
And basically, you know exactly what's coming, and then you go, oh, he put down the gun, there's sure no bullets in it, and that guy's going to try and kill him, and it just...
Yeah.
Bah.
Yeah, you had no complaint with The Hangover 2, Kevin.
No, The Hangover 2 was way better than this movie. It wasn't as good as the original, but way better.
Hotel Transylvania did very well again this weekend. Over $26 million made it number two. Pitch Perfect was third. Looper, not nearly enough people going to see Looper, by the way. If you haven't seen Looper, go see it. $12.2 million made it number four. Frankenweenie, in its debut, I was surprised only made $11.5 million.
Yeah, just a good kids movie.
Making it number five for the weekend. End of Watch was sixth. Trouble with the Curve, House at the End of the Street, The Master, and Finding Nemo, the 3D version, 10th at the box office this weekend.
They might be hoping that Frankenweenie can stay in the theaters throughout the Halloween season. You know, maybe in...
I'm just surprised with Tim Burton, and it being Halloween season, and it being kids' movie, like Lisa mentioned, stop-motion animation, that they didn't get a bigger crowd.
Yeah.
I'm stunned. Congratulations, or not, to Jack Osborne and his girlfriend, Lisa.
Or not.
Or not. Who supposedly tied the knot Saturday in Hawaii or not.
What?
They either got married Saturday in Hawaii, Lisa, or they didn't.
Okay.
But isn't that true every day?
It is, but in this particular case, there was a Osborne family event that happened in Hawaii this weekend.
Okay.
Sources were saying it was the marriage of Jack Osborne and his girlfriend, Lisa. The guests had to sign non-disclosure agreements before being told the location of the ceremony. It was a destination wedding. People had to go there to be part of it. However, Jack on Friday tweeted, "I love how going to Hawaii with my mom for her 60th birthday has turned into my wedding. Ha ha ha, people are funny." Which people are suggesting could either be the truth or not.
Or not, yeah.
Or Jack trying to throw all the paparazzi and press off the scent of his actual event.
How much?
Or not.
Are the paparazzi and the press interested in Jack Osborne?
I believe Jack Osborne might believe, and Sharon especially might believe, that they are more interested than they are.
Yeah.
Or not.
Right.
That's so quite a story. Figure sometime this week we'll probably find out the true story, whether he was married or not, or whether it was a birthday party for Sharon or not.
If you were reading a magazine and you knew that on the next page was full color photos of Jack Osborne's wedding in Hawaii, would you even bother to turn the page?
Not if they were nude.
No.
Not even if they were nude.
Well, I haven't seen her, so.
I still don't care.
All right.
Congratulations to people I know that are married, however, Amber Tamblyn and David Cross of Arrested Development. Amber, of course, of Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, and she was also on House for a while, and she was, what was that good show she was in? The
Joan of Arcadia.
Joan of Arcadia. They got married last Saturday. Congratulations to those two. They are an odd couple.
Yeah.
At first blush. But once you start talking to them, you realize, oh, they're perfectly matched. because Amber's all into that poetry slam thing that she does and stuff. And,
right.
And Dave's a very literate out there guy. So you can see why the two of them hit it off. You can imagine how brokenhearted I was this weekend when it turned out that Ben from The Bachelor and Courtney have broken up.
Oh, when I heard that, I cried for hours.
Ben and Courtney. Well, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't such a big fan of Courtney's anyway, but it looked like they were going to try to make it work, but they have called off their engagement. That makes Biggest Loser 3, Bachelor 1, I think, when it comes to actual marriages. More people have been married from The Biggest Loser than they have The Bachelor.
Who gives a damn?
Oh, people do.
Nope.
I would beg to differ.
Incorrect.
So would the Nielsen Company. What do you got now?
Nothing.
Stop pushing over Vladdy D-Vats, by the way. That's unfair of you, I thought. And here's the difference between a classy star and a hot mess.
All right.
Ben Affleck.
Hot mess?
Classy.
Oh.
Lindsay Lohan, example.
Classy?
Hot mess.
Oh.
You're missing my point here.
Sorry.
Completely. He apparently sideswiped a Honda over the weekend. Ben Affleck did. TMZ.com is reporting. He promptly pulled over, got out of the vehicle, went over to the parked car, and left the following note. Hi, knocked off your mirror. Very sorry. We'll cover everything, Ben. And then left his information.
Hot mess.
A classic guy.
That's a classy guy.
Yeah.
Good man. Nice guy. That Argo looks good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Boy, it looks good. When's that come out? I can't wait.
This coming weekend.
I believe it may be this weekend.
Love it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Angus T. Jones. He is the half of Two and a Half Men. I don't know. Have you seen him lately? He's like two of the Two and a Half Men.
He's twice the size of John Cryer.
He's 19 years old, and I think, didn't we say he's making $700,000
like
a week,
yeah,
or something like that?
Maybe 19. John Cryer is the half now.
I think that's very possible. Bruno Mars is 27. Nick Cannon, greatest host on television.
And by that,
most
you mean
talented,
worst?
Most talented, most gifted, most charming host in reality television.
Yeah, no.
He's 32 years old. Model actress Christina Loken. She was the female Terminator. Remember that? In Terminator, was that 3? 4? Which Terminator was that? 4? 3?
I don't remember.
She was the chick Terminator. She's okay. Hot. She's also in The L Word. 33 years old today. Matt Damon.
Yay, I'm Matt Damon.
42 years old today. Actor Jeremy Davies of Lost and Justified is 43. Emily Proctor, my buddy Emily, celebrates her 44th birthday today from CSI Miami and West Wing. Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live is 57. Sigourney Weaver, 63. Chevy Chase turns 69 years old today. And Jesse Jackson. Oh, our buddy Jesse Jackson. Minister, activist, past presidential candidate. He is 71 years old today. Happy birthday, Jesse, from
Stand with the Withers!
Kevin and Bear Show. Ralph Garman, I walk the show.
Quite a week for the band Muse these days. Their new album, The Second Law, just came out, available for download and in stores last Tuesday. They were on Saturday Night Live this weekend doing their songs Madness and Panic Station. And we are giving away tickets to see them January 23rd at Staples Center. Tickets go on sale Friday morning at 10. We'll tell you more about that in a minute after we talk to the man who sings their songs, Matt Bellamy, in New York City on the line. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Very good.
Doing great. So great to talk to you. This is our first chance to catch up with you since The Second Law came out. Congratulations on the new record. I'm sure you and the boys are very pleased to finally unleash that monster onto the world.
Definitely, yeah. We can't wait to get out there and start playing these songs live.
Well, we were just talking about right before we got you on the phone that you're coming to Staples Center on January 23rd, and we're giving away tickets all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In fact, on K-Rock all throughout the day, every hour we're giving away tickets to see Muse, so we're leaving very little for you to sell and make any money on.
You're welcome.
What do you have in mind for the tour this time around in terms of you know, what's going to be new in the stage show as you introduce these new songs to people live for the first time?
Oh, I think it's going to be our best tour so far. We've got a really great kind of production. We've basically kind of built this. It's kind of like our version of The Wall, you know. It's like we built this kind of upside down pyramid structure which is full of video screens, and basically Throughout the gig, it gradually kind of comes down and consumes the band. So we end up kind of eaten up by this pyramid thing, which is all very symbolic, of course, you know. And then we kind of blast out of it and escape, basically. So it's going to be the most fun tour I think we've done. And we've got loads of really cool visuals and stuff for the tour. So it's going to be a big experience.
If that works, it's going to be awesome.
As I listen to you describe that, I think, well, Muse has discovered drugs. How about that?
this is our Stonehenge tour.
We are playing a bunch of songs, of course, from the Muse album here on K-Rock lately. It's hard to pick a favorite. There are so many different kinds of Muse songs, too. I mean, it really seems like any idea that you had in the studio, you said, let's just go with it. It doesn't even have to sound like what used to be a Muse song anymore. Am I far off on that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we wanted to open things up and really experiment some different sounds, you know, different approaches. And the way we produced the album is we kind of, because we produced the albums ourselves, we had the chance to do some more experiments. And the approach we took was to pretty much produce the songs in the opposite way to what we think we should, if you know what I mean. So, like, in the case of, like, a song like Follow Me, that was pretty much a traditional rock song, and we decided to kind of produce it with all, like, electronic sounds. And then the track Unsustainable was a track where we kind of did it all on a computer, but then we decided to kind of do it all with, you know, with real organic instruments and an orchestra. So we kind of, on a lot of songs, we pretty much did the opposite to what we'd normally do, you know? So that helped kind of get a more kind of experimental sound and pushed us into some new areas, you know?
Is there one song where you're not singing lead, somebody else is?
Oh, indeed, yeah, there's two songs. Yeah, Save Me and Liquid State, Chris.
Were you aware of that?
Our bass player has emerged from the shadows.
Were you aware of that, or did he just start singing?
Well, you know, he's always been a great singer, but he just, you know, he's never really written songs before until this album. Over the years, he's had a number of problems in his life, but he's suddenly sort of come out of his shell, and he's totally wants to start singing and do stuff, and it's really great, you know, because I think album, you know, we're on album six now, it's good to be able to bring something that fresh into the equation, you know?
Sure.
Wow, album six already. How about that?
It's great.
Your band, I mean, no one expects to be one of the biggest bands in the world, but has it been difficult for you to adjust to the level? I mean, just in terms of how much work you guys have to do now for a band at your level, it's maybe more work than most people want when they go into rock and roll as a career.
Well, you know, it's been a lot of fun for us. You know, we had ups and downs over the years. I mean, the early years was kind of where we ironed out all the sort of the more ugly side of the industry. You know, I mean, you know, it was in the early years, around about the time of the second album, that we had lots of, like, you know, falling outs with record labels, and our management, you know, tried to sue us, and we sued them. But all the crap, boring stuff. You know, I'm glad we got all that out of the way early. You know, because the last three albums have been just really great for us, and we've been touring and connecting with the fans all over the world, and it's just been a great journey, really.
So, Matt, we're giving away tickets, like we said, to the show at Staples Center all week long, and every day the grand prize is something that's really strange, and we wanted to talk to you about this. They came in and they said, here's what Matt wants to do. We're going to pick a winner each day, and then that winner is going to go visit SpaceX with Muse. And we said, what?
What?
How did this come about? What is SpaceX, you know, and how did it come about?
Well, I mean, I've always been interested in, you know, space travel and what's going on out there in the world of science, you know. And I think it was when we did the album, our fourth album, Black Holes and Revelations, we became friendly with an astronaut called Garrett Reisman, and he was a NASA astronaut. And I think it was the second to last Atlantis space mission that NASA sent up with Garrett Reisman, and he took up our album and played it in space.
Oh, that's right.
And I think we just sent you a picture of one of the other astronauts on that flight called Pierre Sellers, who actually had he's got a picture of him with the Black Holes and Revelations CD in his hand. He's just about to play it with a and you can see the Earth in the background. It's a really great picture.
Now, do we get to go up in a space shuttle and see that?
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, in the next 10 years, one of our K-Rock promotions will be to actually let's go into space and do this for real, so I can go up there and play, you know. So we've always liked the idea of what's going on, as I said, in science and stuff, and we became friends with these guys. Anyway, this guy, Garrett Reisman, he now works at SpaceX because, as people know, NASA has kind of closed its shuttle program. And their shuttles, all their shuttles are kind of like, when you get on them, they're like kind of retro, like 70s kind of kit, you know. And SpaceX is now much more kind of cutting edge, and they've kind of taken on the space program a little bit, you know. So they're building much more cool, modern sort of shuttles that are taking astronauts up to do stuff, and they're trying to put together a mission to go to Mars, a manned mission to Mars at some point in the next 10, 20 years. And so I think it'll be a really great tour, you know. And it's run by this guy Elon Musk, who also made all those Tesla cars, you know. And I'm a big car fan. And I've got a Tesla car as well, so I'm hoping to learn a bit more about that as well. So basically, I think it'll be a really cool tour. And you know, as I said, a lot of our songs on the new album and our previous albums talk about space, space travel and science and stuff like that. So I think it'll be a really interesting insight into what's going on in the world of space travel, the cutting edge of space travel. You know?
I think it sounds like a dream come true if you're a space fanatic like you are to get to rub elbows with these guys and hang out and see the gear and everything like that. Are you gonna hook up with Branson at some point, and when he starts offering those trips into outer space, are you going to go?
Well, I mean, SpaceX is turning out to be probably the most cutting edge place for this stuff now. I mean, they're almost ahead of the curve. I think what Branson's doing is more aimed at taking taking civilians up to on space holidays. But SpaceX have got a similar program which they're working on, which I think takes passengers a little bit deeper into space.
Muse is going to do the first ever concert on Mars. That's going to be your thing, isn't it?
That's the idea. Playing Mites of Cydonia on Cydonia.
Hey, that would be awesome. We could do a breakfast with Muse, and we could take like 100 listeners to Mars.
I love it.
Just working out the details, but we're going to make that happen.
All right. Staples Center, January 23rd. Win your tickets all week on K-Rock, and 5 winners will also get a guided tour of SpaceX with Muse themselves. Matt Bellamy, we couldn't be happier to have you on. Congratulations on SNL this weekend. Congratulations on the new record, which is available everywhere. That is fantastic, called The Second Law. We love you, man. It's always great to have you on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Matt.
Take care. See ya.
All right. So, Muse, January 23rd, Staples Center. And let's give away those tickets right now. How about that?
Sweet.
Tour SpaceX with Muse. It's a strange prize, we know.
Yeah, it is.
But it's what he wants to do, so it's what we're going to do. And it sounds like a cool thing. If you'd like to go, what are we doing next, Bean? You want to... Give my hand.
We got space trivia for you. If you're a space fan, if this sounds like the type of thing that you would love, call us right now. We'll give you a chance to win these tickets. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on the World Famous. Just had Matt Bellamy on the air. He is the lead singer of Muse. They're coming to town on the 23rd of January at Staples Center. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10. You can win tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. And you get to tour SpaceX down in Hawthorne with the band. We're playing a little game we call Space Case.
This is Space Case. Earthling, do you know outer space? This is Space Case. Someone punch Beer Mug in the face. This is Space Case. Earthling, do you know outer space? This is Space Case. Seriously, punch Beer Mug in the face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, forget the game. Let's just play that again. All right, who's our first contestant to try to win these Muse tickets?
We have Liza.
Hey, Liza. Good morning.
Liza.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Liza, yeah.
All right.
All right, you go into a drawing if you get this question right, and then Lisa tells us at the end who's going to tour SpaceX with the band Muse. Listen up. NASA currently has a machine on the surface of the planet Mars collecting soil samples and sending back incredibly detailed photographs of the Martian surface. Is the rover called A, Curiosity, B, Discovery, C, New Horizons, or D, WALL-E?
Curiosity.
That is correct.
Nicely well done.
You are in the drawing. Nice one.
A smart trying pick. To throw I like her that. Off with WALL-E. I like it. Jeff, hi.
Hey.
Or hi, or hey. I don't know. It's kind of a mixture.
Hey, Lisa.
Jeff.
Hello.
Back in 2000, actor Clint Eastwood, before he was crazy, and Tommy Lee Jones played senior citizens astronauts who blasted off on a mission to prevent a satellite from crashing into Earth. Was the movie called A, Senior Citizen Astronauts, B, Space Cowboys, C, Geezers in Orbit, or D, Grandpa Saves the World?
Space Cowboys.
Hey, you're right again. Well done.
Hold on. Let's go to Netta. Hi, Netta.
Hi.
Netta, third rock
by
from
the way,
the
Netta's a scientist.
Oh,
so she
just, I'll just write her name down
planet.
Now.
That just gives her an unfair advantage, but yeah. Go ahead.
Third Rock from the Sun was a popular late 90s sitcom about a group of extraterrestrials who travel to which planet in our solar system to try to blend in with the inhabitants? Was it A, Venus, B, Mars, C, Neptune, D, Earth?
Earth.
Yes.
Look at that.
Wow. 3 for 3,
all
kids.
Three. All right, let's go to Richard. I don't have a good feeling about Richard.
Thanks.
Man, what are the chances we're going to get 4 in a row? Come on now.
I'm with Kevin. Richard sounds effing shaky. Buzz Aldrin, the Apollo 11 astronaut who was the second man on the moon, was also a contestant on TV's Dancing with the Stars. Which of the following celebrities also competed on that show? A, Flava Flav, B, Nolan Ryan, C, Gwen Stefani, D, David Hasselhoff.
Who was the first one you said?
Flava Flav.
Let's go with Flava Flav.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. David Hasselhoff was a competitor on Dancing with the Stars. None of the others.
Although, Richard, you didn't win, but I'm glad you didn't know. You should take pride in that.
Let's do one more. What the hell? We got. I need a Muse fan on the line here.
All right. Victoria, hi.
Hi.
Victoria, you like that Muse?
Oh, love Muse.
All right. All right. Then there's a good one for you. Which of the following space-related titles is not a song by Muse? A, Supermassive Black Hole. B, Neutron Star Collision. C, Man on the Moon. D, Dead Star.
Man on the Moon.
Check you out.
Nicely
so
done.
Easy. So easy. All right, so everyone but Richard, because he's a dick, is in the drawing to tour SpaceX with the band Muse and win tickets before they go on sale for the show at Staples Center in January. Lisa, who's our winner?
Jeff is the winner.
Jeff is the winner.
Yes.
Congratulations, Woo! Jeff. Jeff?
Yes.
Congratulations. You enjoy.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for playing.
This is Space Case.
These kinds of guys don't change.
Kevin and Bean.
You think they ever suddenly wake up and realize the error of their ways and clean up their act? No.
No.
They just keep ruining everyone's lives, and the world is better off without them.
K-Rock.
That's sort of our job, I think. Ruin lives. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:38. We welcome to the show Michael Chiklis. Hello,
Come
Michael.
Come on.
Hey.
How are
you? Good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on? How you been, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
Doing fine, of course, from The Shield and Fantastic Four and the short-lived No Ordinary Family, which was way better and should have been still on the air, if you want my opinion there, Michael. But it's good to have you back with Vegas. How's that going for you?
One door closes and another one opens. And if No Ordinary Family was still going, I wouldn't be doing Vegas. And Vegas is amazing. It's a really good gig. Excellent, in fact. Great, great cast. Unbelievable pedigree. And I get to work with Nick Pileggi and Dennis Quaid.
Now, Dennis Quaid in this show plays the cop, and you play the robber, for lack of a better term.
Well, I think the thing that attracted us to it was a number of things. First of all, like I said, Nick Pileggi, but also just this period in Vegas. You know, there were 15,000 people living in Vegas in 1960. And between 60 and 80, all of a sudden it went from this little desert community to Vegas, you know, 3
right.
million people, hundreds of millions of dollars pouring in. So as a consequence, you get all these gangsters coming from every city in the country vying for position and trying to elbow their way in at the ground floor. And, you know, there's a reason why they call it the Boneyard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, there have to be some
I used to call my dorm room that in college.
For a completely different reason, Kevin. And there were some real growing pains. I mean, the one thing we learn early on is, you know, Dennis Quaid, who's playing the former sheriff, I mean, he's a rancher. And, you know, he's happy with his life out there in the desert with his, you know, with his livestock or whatever. And all of a sudden, people are coming in. They're just building all around him. And, I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of pushback, I'm sure, back then.
Well, sure. You know, I mean, Nevada was a Mormon state. And all of a sudden, these ethnic types.
Yeah.
Start showing up. You know, it was probably really kind of shocking.
Was this during the time when our government was claiming that there was no such thing as the mafia? Or was that earlier?
Well, certainly the mafia was claiming that there was no such thing as the mafia. They actually, you know, from my standpoint, it's great playing a character like this because if Vic Mackey from The Shield was a cop who started as an idealist and sort of spiraled into corruption, this guy's the opposite of that. He's a guy who was raised in corruption and is really, really trying to rise out of the muck and become part of the establishment. You know, he wants to be, I joke about it, but he wants to be a legitimate businessman.
Right.
So that he can give that to his children so that they can be, you know, and the thing is, we know the end of the story. We're two generations removed now and their grandchildren are perfectly legitimate business people who are running the town.
Sure did take a long time, though, for him to make that transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's fascinating stuff, and it makes for great drama, and it makes for a great show. And I'm really excited because the show starts out really strong, but I know where we've gone and where it's going, and it's good, man. It's really good.
Will we see Frank Sinatra stop by Vegas?
Well, we're actually talking about that stuff and how we can integrate all of that, and it's definitely going to be a part of it, because that was one of the sexiest things about the period is it was when Vegas started to introduce all the, you know, the showbiz greats, and
right.
starting with the Rat Pack and Elvis and all the great comedians, and, you know, and it was just an incredible time. It was just Disneyland for adults out there.
And and those incredible entertainers a lot of times had ties to the mob.
Well, and, you know,
allegedly,
some of them unwittingly got locked in because, you know, they were a little bit, you know, as actors and musicians can be a little bit compulsive, and you know, they'd get on the tables and get themselves into trouble, and, you know, we found a way for them to work it off.
Now, Dennis Quaid in the TV show does wear a cowboy hat. I noticed that you wear kind of more of a mafia hat.
A fedora.
Was there a time when they were considering having you wear a cowboy hat? Because I can't see that on you.
No. Oh, well, you know, there was a point where when I first got introduced to this project where I was looking at Ralph Lamb, and then when I saw the script, I thought, I'm not Ralph Lamb. I mean, this isn't the role for me.
Right.
You know, and they, you know, now you see Dennis Quaid in the role,
that fits.
That's him.
Yeah.
Is this the first time Dennis Quaid has done television? Forgive me if that's a stupid question, but I know I don't remember seeing
it. No, it's the first time. He did it. Apparently, he jokes about doing a guest star on Beretta in 1974.
That doesn't count.
But no, it's his first foray into series television, and he's actually loving it because he always says they pay me to wait, and you wait a lot when you're in the feature business.
Yeah,
the difference with television is, you know, we keep it moving, and as actors, it's not nearly as boring and tedious. We, as a matter of fact, it's the opposite. You know, we wish we could wait a little bit more because it's a you know, on the fast side. So
It's a great cast. Of course, we're talking to Michael Chiklis here on the Kevin DeBean Show. The show is called Vegas. It airs Tuesday nights at 10 on CBS. Carrie Ann Moss is also on the show. Jason Amara. Here's a scene. We want to play some audio from the show. You'll get an idea of how intense some of these scenes are between Dennis Quaid's characters and Michael Chiklis. Listen up.
Did you find what you were looking for?
Don't know yet.
I wish you luck. Look, you and I got off to a rocky start. I hope we can put the past behind us. See, I believe in the spirit of cooperation. No reason why you and I can't work together. Just the next time you have a problem, keep your business outside my house.
Sounds like a deal. As long as you keep yours out of mine. Sheriff Clyde won't be needing those anymore.
I gotta tell you, no one is better than Michael Chiklis at saying something and meaning something entirely different. That's just one of your strengths.
You are a badass. When you say good morning, Kevin, to me, and I shudder. I mean, you're a terrifying mother effer, Michael.
I'm happy that you're happy.
All right. Tuesdays at 10 on CBS. It is called Vegas. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Always great to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We're gonna talk about something I don't know that we've ever discussed on the Kevin DeBean Show coming up after 8 o'clock, and that's the WWE. That's a thing that exists that people watch now in 2012.
That's right,
real.
Brother.
That's real.
Hulk Hogan sex tape.
Yeah.
That is coming up also, TMZ.com. Harvey Levin joins us next hour as well. Rob's here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Before I beat you, I would like to tell you about a very cool event that's happening this week that we hope you will stop by and attend, not just because it's fun for you, because it's important. It is the K-Rock Drain a Vein Blood Drive.
Yay!
Kevin and Bean are doing our Drain a Vein Blood Drive again this year, Thursday.
This Thursday.
October the 11th. Want to take this?
No, I'm just...
This Thursday, October the 11th, is happening at Hellbreak LA, which is located at the old historic Sears building in Hollywood, 5601 Santa Monica Boulevard. In Hollywood. It's going to be LA's newest and scariest haunted house, Hellbreak LA.
Hellbreak LA
is where we will be doing the blood drive, the Drain a Vein blood drive. Come on down and see me. I will be there.
Ralph will be there.
In the morning.
Thursday.
7 a.m. we start. We go all the way to 4 p.m. And there's tons of prizes for everyone who donates blood. Just come on down and give some blood because it's important and people need blood.
because without blood, your body doesn't work right. That's what they tell me. So why don't you come on down and give some blood? Drain a Vein Blood Drive Thursday, October the 11th at Hellbreak, L.A. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. It is Monday. That means the top 10 movies at the box office is what we look at. Taken 2, $50 million made it number one this weekend. Hotel Transylvania is second, $26.3 million this weekend. Pitch Perfect was third. Looper and Frankenweenie rounding out the top five. Then End of Watch, Trouble with the Curve, House at the End of the Street, The Master, and Finding Nemo 3D. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office for this weekend. You know, usually I don't have anything good to say about Jenny McCarthy, especially when she's talking.
Yeah.
But apparently I might want to reconsider at least reading her writing, because she's got a new book out called Bad Habits, Confessions of a Recovering Catholic. And she talks about her experiences at the Playboy Mansion when she was a playmate.
Oh, interesting.
And recounts the story of how she took ecstasy and Vicodin with some of her fellow playmates while living at the playmate house there up on campus at Hefts. And they all started making out with each other. They were feeling so good.
Okay.
All right. That's a story I can get behind. More of that, Jenny McCarthy, less. I'm so bleh.
Don't you picture them just having a bowl of ecstasy just out like candy?
Sure, why not?
Playboy Mansion.
I picture whatever I want to picture. It's from Tan Mom to Tat Mom is the newest phenomenon when it comes to the poster woman for bad parenting. Tan Mom, of course, was that heavily, overly tanned mother
lady, right?
Who brought her child into the tanning booth with her and was accused of child endangerment, and there was a big hubbub. Well, now that crown has been passed to Tat Mom, the heavily tattooed North Carolina mom who made the news this weekend by giving her 11-year-old daughter a homemade tattoo.
All right. Mom did it?
Mom did it. You know, it's bad enough. You take your 11-year-old to a reputable tattoo parlor.
But at least do that.
That's bad enough.
They won't do it.
Agreed, bad enough.
Well, they do if you get parental permission. Really? You can do it. Sure, you sign a waiver and they'll tattoo anything you want. But you can't do it at home with a Bic pen and a knitting needle or whatever the hell she used.
Oh,
that's prison tattoo is what that is.
30-year-old Odessa Clay is her name. Said she was unaware that giving a minor a tattoo at home was illegal.
Huh.
She numbed her daughter's arm before giving her the heart-shaped tattoo near her right shoulder.
Say
come on, people. She numbed the arm.
She numbed it. Take that into consideration. She's cool.
She claims her daughter asked for the body art.
Well,
the 11-year-old asked for the body art.
What's she supposed to do?
You have to. If an 11-year-old asks you for anything, you must give it to them. Those are the rules, North Carolina.
An elephant or a car or drugs, whatever they want.
How did this not happen in Florida?
That's a good question.
Florida must be furious right now. Hey, people, we've been resting on our laurels for some time now. Look what's happening. North Carolina got to step on us. It's time for us to up our game. You, mother, start tattooing your kids. Come on, people. You're embarrassing me.
Step up, Florida.
It's so hot.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bruno Mars is 27 years old today. Angus T. Jones, he is the half of 2 and a Half Men. He is 19 years old. Nick Cannon, host of America's Got Talent. Well, I say host. I use that phrase loosely.
Yeah.
He stands on stage at America's Got Talent and reads the cue cards. He's 32. Kristanna Loken, model and actress and stunner, 33 years old today. Matt Damon's 42. Jeremy Davies of Lost and Justified is 43 years old. My buddy Emily Proctor celebrates her 44th birthday. You know her from CSI Miami and from The West Wing. Daryl Hammond, very funny comedian, impressionist, 57 years old today. Is he still on Saturday Live? Does he still do
that? No,
that
I don't he's think been so. A couple years.
Sigourney Weaver is 63. Chevy Chase is 69. And the legendary minister, activist, past presidential candidate, Jesse Jackson, celebrates his 71st birthday. Happy birthday, Reverend, from the Kevin and Bear Show. I'm sorry, I thought we talked about having
that audio.
We did.
I thought he was going to play it, but...
Ah, what do I know? I'm Ralph Garman. I'm on the show.
Last hour, we talked to Matt Bellamy from the band Muse, all about, well, everything going on in Muse land, including January 23rd at Staples Center. Tickets go on sale Friday morning at 10 to see that show. We'll be giving away tickets all this week here on K-Rock and on the Kevin and Bean Show, too, plus a chance to tour SpaceX with Muse. So keep listening and get all those details for you at krock.com.
All right, let's talk about the WWE.
Let's. Finally.
I was never a fan. I'll start by saying that.
Okay,
so you can see where I'm coming from. But once the UFC took off, to me, I don't understand how the WWE still exists. Because the UFC is 90% what the WWE is, only it's real.
Right.
So why would you watch something that's completely false when you have something that's pretty much the same but totally real? I don't get that.
You go see lots of movies where people are at war and there's plenty of real war going on the earth.
Right.
Interesting comparison.
I'm just saying, I mean, there are different versions of the same thing that people enjoy in different ways.
Right.
Well, I think it's drama and you can follow people for years. It's a very different thing.
I mean, is it a soap opera? Is that the appeal for something like the WWE? You get a character and you root for and you've got somebody that you like and somebody that you don't like, and it's just fun, just like with anything else, whether it's comic books or movies or TV or whatever. You just want to see them fight and see who wins, and hopefully your guy does, I guess.
I guess, but you know it was set up ahead of time.
It's kind of like fantasy football versus real football, which you also don't see the point of, right?
I don't think
right?
it's anything like that at
you
all.
Don't?
No. Well, I don't know. We'll see. But let me just read something from Matt Fowler, who is IGN.com/TV. He writes about the WWE. In the first sentence, he says, with the addition of WWE's main event to Wednesday nights, making the number of days I watch wrestling on a non-pay-per-view week now officially outnumbering the days I don't watch wrestling.
How much WWE is there?
More wrestling in a week than other days.
He loves it.
Matt is on the phone with us right now. Hi, Matt.
Well, firstly, I accept your scorn.
You should.
And, yeah, you know what? As of about 2 weeks ago, or actually last week with the Ion show, WWE now has 6 hours of TV a week. And that's not including a three-hour pay-per-view if you buy those, which happen once a month.
Wow.
So it's really everywhere, and it does sound strange from somebody who's a wrestling fan, and I've been watching it for a couple of decades. But it does sort of dilute the pool. I mean, it is a lot, and they do struggle to fill some of these hours.
But you still watch every minute you can.
Well, I am still able to say that I cover it for a job.
I know, but that
weekly column, but
right.
And so I do have that excuse. If I didn't have to write a weekly column, maybe I wouldn't watch it as intently. Maybe I'd skip the Wednesday show.
Oh,
sure.
Come on, Matt.
Take a step back for me. Where are we in the WWE right now, just in terms of the popularity of the sport? It can't be where it was 10 years ago, right?
Well, back in the late 90s, it went through a huge boom called the Attitude Era, and that was when WWE and WCW were in competition with one another.
Right. Is that when you had guys like The Rock in the sport?
Oh, yeah, and that's when you had wrestlers hosting Saturday Night Live, and they were on the cover of Rolling Stone, and it was as popular as it had been since Hulk Hogan took off with the MTV crossover in the 80s.
Okay, but and that was almost roughly the time when the UFC took off.
Yeah, and I was looking
early 90s.
About the UFC, and as somebody who's a wrestling fan but not a UFC fan, I don't watch wrestling. I've been watching it since I was a kid, and I would say since 89. But I don't watch it because I think it's real or because I want something that's real.
No, I understand.
So I'm not looking for an actual real fight. In fact, I don't want a real fight. I want what a wrestling match is. And we could fall back on the, it's a soap opera for guys. And I would say guys, yes, males are primarily the fans of wrestling. But where the WWE is now, yeah, the ratings aren't what they used to be. But it's such a global phenomenon. And it really touches on everyone from age 8 to age 80, male and female.
Wait a minute. 8 to 10 and 78 to 80.
And no one in between, Kevin?
I'm just saying.
Matt, who airs the WWE now? Where can you see it?
Well, tonight is their flagship show, Monday nights on USA. They have Monday Night Raw, and it's the thing about wrestling is it doesn't stop. There's no reruns. They don't take a break. So they're over 1,000 episodes strong on Monday Night Raw.
What?
And then Sci-Fi has a show on Fridays called SmackDown, and that's 2 hours. And then, like we mentioned previously, Ion just started a show last week. Called Main Event.
Who are the biggest stars in the WWE these days? I mean, you mentioned the late 90s when we might have had The Rock and we had, Goldberg and John Cena and guys like that. Who's big today?
Well, Cena is still around and he's still pretty much top dog. even though he has about equal amounts of haters as he does fans, and that's one of the things about his character.
How does a guy stay at the top that long if it's drama?
Actually, one of the problems with the WWE and, you know, a lot of people saying why they haven't reached another apex is that their failure to create new big stars. Saying that, I would say that CM Punk is also, he's currently the WWE champion, is, you know, one of the other big stars. So.
Huh. So nothing has come along. In all these years that you've been watching wrestling, and we're talking to Matt Fowler, who's a terrific writer at IGN.com about other things in addition to wrestling as well, Matt writes about. But nothing has come along that has dampened your enthusiasm for this particular brand of entertainment. Nothing's come along that you like more that has kind of made you leave this behind?
Nothing that substitutes it for it, no. I mean,
so when I say UFC for me makes WWE unwatchable, you're not interested in seeing a real fight,
right?
So that's exactly your answer. Okay, I gotcha.
And I would say that, you know, the WWE likes to say because they have such a huge age range and because they're in so many different countries that they have something for everybody. And I think that that might be able to get somebody who's not a wrestling fan through a live event in the same way that somebody who doesn't enjoy baseball might like going to a live baseball game.
But to be
a fan of wrestling, you really have to, I believe, enjoy the wrestling match, the actual match, the storytelling that goes on. But the
match isn't a real wrestling match.
But it's, you know, it's a dance. It's sort of an art form. It's sort of, they don't fight the way that anybody in the real world would ever fight. Physics go out the window.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, it's its own entity. And I think that you can go to a wrestling show and really enjoy, you know, the entrances, the pyrotechnics, and the lavish characters. But to really be a fan and to watch it for a long time, you have to enjoy the match.
What happened? Refresh our memory, Matt, since you are the WWE expert now, the official WWE expert of the Kevin DeBee Show, because you're the only person we know that watches it. What happened a few years ago? We were trying to remind ourselves before we brought you on the line when the WWE had to admit that it was fake. Was there some sort of a lawsuit or something where they were pretending to be real and then they got called on it? Or what was that story?
I don't know specifically. I can tell you that some of the touchstones over the years is that in the late 90s, the curtain dropped with the Attitude Era, which is what they called the big popularity surge in the late 90s. Wrestlers were writing books. They were pretty much coming out and telling you behind the scenes stuff.
But they were forced to admit it was fake in court.
There's been a lot of, they've had a ton of lawsuits over the years. Some of them have had to do with injuries sustained at people trying to emulate moves at home.
Oh, right.
Some of them have to do with, some of their issues have to do with some places wouldn't hold wrestling events unless they recategorize themselves, in which they now call themselves sports entertainment. In fact, if you watch WWE, they rarely say wrestling. They don't have wrestlers. They have superstars.
Interesting.
They are sports entertainers.
So this is the first person
to come out and say that.
This is so fascinating to me because this is one of those subcategories where most of these stars of wrestlers, even like CM Punk and the biggest names that you mentioned, could walk down the street and people would be completely oblivious to the fact that they were a star. But if they're in the right place at the right time, 4,000 people would line up to get an autograph. It all depends on whether you're into it or not, right?
That's very true. You could even mention the name CM Punk. People wouldn't know who that is. You know, some of the other, you know, Hulk Hogan, you can say, of course. Andre the Giant.
Hulk Hogan.
Hey, we've seen more of Hulk Hogan than we want to see lately, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. Well, you can see how much Hulk Hogan is trying to get back in the limelight with that one. But,
yeah,
exactly. Well, it's fascinating. When this came up the other day in conversation, somebody mentioned the WWE, and we said, who is still watching this? And Dave is the one who pointed out. He said, well, Matt is writing a column over there. We said, we got to get him on. We got to find out what the story is. So it's basically exactly what you want. It sounds like you have some suggestions to improve the sport, but you're still enjoying it. It's something you still look forward to and you're still a fan of.
That's true, yes, definitely.
But you're blaming it on your column.
I am. And, you know, with my column that comes out on Tuesdays, it's a jokey column. I try to make light of it, and the people who read it kind of realize the ridiculousness of being a wrestling fan and kind of embrace that.
All right.
I think that's one of the things that people like about it.
I mean, here's my final point, Matt. And again, you can read the column at IGN.com. You can follow Matt on Twitter at the Matt Fowler. It's like the people who still pretend to like the Insane Clown Posse when there's real music out there. Same sort of thing, right?
Well,
you know, those, you know, maybe a few wrestling fans also don't know how magnets work, but I see your parallel.
All right, Matt. Thanks so much for coming on, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Harvey Levin from the TMZ.com newsroom joins us in minutes right now. Oh, come on.
What do you mean, what? What do you mean, oh,
really?
Come on?
What?
That's that tweet.
Bean!
How did... What?
Oh, stop
well,
it.
Sometimes we're bursting and
you
we
know
have to
you
do it.
Tweet crap. You know that's true.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh, will you look at the clock?
That's that
tweet.
Bean!
Hey, hey, you know the easiest way to stop this segment? Stop tweeting garbage. Then it goes away.
What's your problem now?
What's my problem now? The problem is the list of tweets that are just horrible that you have inflicted upon people who, for some foolish reason, choose to follow you.
We are now getting tweets from random listeners telling us about tweets that you put up and insisting that we include it in this segment.
Yeah, and that's not necessary. Believe me, you're not making anything better. Give me an example of what you're complaining about because I don't see it.
Microsoft Outlook spell corrects faux show to of who to keep us white guys from sounding too hip.
That's a good point.
Thanks for that.
You can't tell yourself that's a good point. You can't say I just made a good point. We'll be the judge of that.
I'm standing by that.
Hey, person who puts the kind of car you drive on your license plate, do you think we can't see the license plate but not the car?
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
Like you'll see a guy who will be driving a Porsche 911
tweet.
And his license plate says
tweet.
Bean.
You know what? Just pull that guy over and have a conversation with him one on one.
Here's the thing, Bean. We don't need further clarification.
Yeah, it's
we understand what you mean.
Mm-hmm. But why do people do that?
Well, I don't know.
You should pull the guy over, right. Wave him over, and have a conversation by the side of the road, and leave the rest of us the F out of it.
I can't watch the debate tonight, but if Mitt Romney's looper from the future shows up to kill his younger self, someone text me.
Oh, see, he's tying in the debates
see,
with Looper.
See, it's a pop culture reference.
Wow.
Thank you, Ralph.
That makes no goddamn sense in this context.
I accept your support.
No.
Tweet.
No, you don't, because it's not given.
The 14-year-old girl in me wants to remind you that our Taylor Swift is interviewed on Nightline tonight.
Oh, my God. F you so much.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
There's not a...
I want to make sure the other T-Swizzle fans don't miss her appearance on TV,
God.
That's all.
Wow.
Standing ovation for Michael J. Fox by the whole room at the Emmys tonight, except Peter Dinklage. What a dick. Hashtag, wait, what?
See, because he's short and
you might have been so standing up, but you couldn't tell
standing
because
up?
He's littler than
that's that
tweet.
Bean!
Oh. Wow.
Wow. It's just nothing?
No. I'm just stunned by
you that. You just can't go on?
Where were all these USA space shuttle fans when they gave Endeavor that ridiculous British spelling?
That's a great point, too, by the way. Why are we having a U.S. space shuttle that's spelled Endeavor with a U? That's BS, man.
Who gives a crap? Who cares how it's spelled?
Americans care?
No.
Seriously, Archie, 40 years of trying to decide between Betty and Veronica? Just admit you're gay.
Right?
Thanks for that
tweet.
Who cracks himself up more than Bean?
Right? Who's still reading Archie? Who is this tweet for? People in the 60s?
Is this
tweet supposed to go back in time and reach someone who gives an F about Archie?
Archie
says
is
the
still
comic book fan.
Says a comic book geek.
Right, right.
Archie is still at the counter as you check out at the supermarket in some places.
Yeah, you know why it's at the counter? Because no one's picking it up and buying it at the supermarkets. That's why the racks are full.
The Emmys have been on so long, I'm pretty sure some of those people in the In Memoriam segment were alive when it started.
It's a long show.
Bean, we get it. Do you think we don't really understand that that's the joke about the show, that it's long?
All right, that's
enough. Stuck at 19,999 followers all morning. Quick, 999 people need to unfollow me so I can get to a good round number. Thanks.
That's good advice right there.
See?
19,999 should unfollow you. I bet the dog days are over is a terrifying expression to dogs.
Oh, my God. I want to
sweet
punch
Jesus.
You right in the face.
That's that right. Tweet.
Bing. We're really out of time.
That's that tweet.
I wish you were out of time on the planet.
I'm just saying, as we bring on our friend Dax Holt from TMZ.com live from the newsroom, that their website owes the nation an apology. That's what I'm saying.
What?
Hey, Dax, how are you?
Good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What do they owe us an apology for?
Yeah, what do they owe us an apology? Did you put up a part of the Hulk Hogan sex tape or not?
No. Listen, all we have done is report on the sex tape. That was another website that actually published the sex tape, but we just talked about it and the fact that Hogan's ticked. He wants, you know, to sue people over this. And then there's another side that sex.com wants to buy the tape and actually publish it and pay him a whole bunch of money for it.
Yeah, which I saw at least still photos and the words Hulk Hogan sex tape, which alone was enough to give me nightmares, Dax.
I'm thinking, who would want to pay for this video to put it on their site?
Well, I can't imagine. I mean, we're all fascinated by celebrities who get a
not
sex tape.
Celebrities with skulls having sex. That's not good.
Come on. You don't picture Hulk Hogan. You're not curious about a Hulk Hogan?
No.
Come on.
But he takes a phone call.
A couple days ago online.
Dax, did you see? He takes a phone call. He interrupts himself to take a phone call.
From his son. He's like, let me check and see if this is Nick calling.
Right.
Who interrupts sex to have a phone conversation with your son? Sorry. Hold
that was
on.
That was a Freudian slip, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was actually. He was interrupting sex. And isn't it, what's your take on how this thing was shot? Is it a surveillance camera in the corner of the bedroom?
It absolutely looks like a surveillance camera in the bedroom. I mean,
that's
there's no other explanation for it other than it's in someone's house, which is not Hogan's house.
Right.
And it's some woman, and there's a guy that comes into the video.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, we did, and sort of like make sure he's okay, and then says, I'll be in the office.
I'll be in the office. You two have fun. Come get me later if you're done.
Are we to think that that's, I've seen reports that that's her husband.
That's kind of what it looks like. But, I mean, the whole thing is so weird, and I think a lot of people are questioning it. Hogan just doesn't want anyone to see it at this point.
All right, let me ask you this. Is this a way, like a lot of sex tapes have happened, where they come out fake outraged, and then they go ahead and make the deal to make cash on it?
I don't think so.
You don't?
The only reason, because he had no idea that this was out there because he's saying it was secretly recorded.
Okay.
And the whole surveillance tape, I can kind of see that happening. It's the ones where clearly they know they're being filmed and they're on the camera. And then, oh, look, they just happened to come out into the public. I don't know how they got there.
Okay, then legally, how can someone put it up?
They cannot. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know.
Do they have to get his? Do they have to get his okay?
If they're going to try to make money on it, then yes, you have to have his okay. So any of those sex tapes you see flying around that are
for sale,
then yes, they got to sign off.
Okay.
All right. We're going to change subjects here, but while we're on the sex tape topic, I just have to ask because it seems like it's been a couple of months since we heard anything about the Minka Kelly sex tape. Did that just die? Did that thing end up not existing or just got squashed down or what?
I don't know where it went. I don't know if it's real or not.
Well, get on that story.
Why are we talking about Hogan?
Come on, Dax.
Minka Kelly possibly out there.
All right, new topic. Dax Holt on the line from TMZ.com. Check your local listings for the TMZ television show, including TMZ Live at 4. Everybody seems to be weighing in on the validity of the fight between Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey on set American Idol. What was your opinion with all the deep research that you've done about whether that thing was real or not, or is just being trumped up to get us interested in the new season?
I can tell you from a TMZ standpoint that it was real. And the reason I think it's real is because when we called over to producers, like, 5 minutes after it happened, we got word of it. We called over. They freaked out. They did not want us to know about
awesome.
It. They were super scared. They were like, and once we put it out, I think they realized, oh, well, maybe this isn't so bad for American Idol. You know, everyone's talking about it now. Everyone wants to see the drama between these two chicks. And I think they realized the benefit of it. But when it initially happened, I don't think they wanted anyone to know.
And because of that, you think it's real. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I hope it's real. I like to see a good fight.
I hope they air it, though.
I hope that's what I was going to say. Do you think that that they will realize what a boon this is for them and just edit it that way?
Yeah, I think they have to. You can't ignore it at this point. It's gotten so big. I think people would be very disappointed and ticked if they didn't air it.
Agreed.
What did Steven Tyler say when you guys caught up with him, though? He's a former judge on American Idol. He had an opinion, right?
Yeah, he thinks it's BS.
He does.
But so do it like, you know, like CeeLo Green. But he's on another show. Of course he's going to say something like that.
Oh, yeah. He's on another show, and so he doesn't want American Idol to get all the ratings.
Right.
Everyone talking about that. Steven, though, I mean, he worked with all these producers. He knows all the people. He thinks it's BS. So, I mean, I would kind of tend to believe him, but just because we know everything that happened that day,
right.
I think it's real.
The fact
right.
that they freaked out. Yeah.
I can't imagine, look, I don't know enough about Mariah Carey to know what she's like in real life, but I can't imagine that somebody who is a diva, who has her every whim attended to, who has yes people surrounding her all the time, I can't imagine that she is going to react well to somebody standing up to her or somebody talking yeah. down to her.
Someone that's not going to care who you are.
Right, and exactly.
Nikki does not care who Mariah is. They both want their screen time. They both want to have their opinions listened
Chick
to.
Chick fight.
Yeah.
Let's get it on.
I think, you know what? American Idol needs to do cage match.
Agree.
Do it. Get it over
right.
with. Ratings will be huge.
There you go. Something we can all agree on. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ TV, including TMZ Live at 4. Dax, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Bye, guys.
And you feel like falling down. I'll carry you home tonight.
I think that worked.
That's what that song needs.
It's no Mel fun, I'll tell you that. Hey, party people, it's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone joins us after the top of the hour to recap this weekend's games. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I got Showbiz Beat, I got tickets. Tickets to give away.
He's got tickets!
To a very cool event. It's the advanced screening of Paranormal Activity 4.
Yay!
There are now 4 families that have had sheets ripped off their bodies in the middle of the night by ghosts. What are the odds? Paranormal Activity 4 is Thursday, October the 18th, is when we're having our special advanced screening for that film. This is the time of the year, people, if you're going to see a scary movie. Halloween is almost upon us, so you can see Paranormal Activity 4, and you get access to take a tour through the Blumhouse of Horrors, which is one of L.A.'s most haunted locations. So you get double scare for your dollar right here, and it doesn't even cost a dollar. It's free, actually. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through. Get a pair of tickets to our advanced screening of Paranormal 4, and you get the tour of the Blumhouse of Horrors, which is just spooky as all get out. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office while we're talking movies. Taken 2, as expected, number 1 at the box office, made $50 million this weekend. Hotel Transylvania is, by the way, speaking of Taken 2, you know Liam Neeson is 60?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't strike you as a 60-year-old man, does he? He's still kicking ass.
He's youthful.
Yeah.
Boy, he looks a lot worse.
A particular set of skills.
He looks a lot worse than he used to, but not 60.
Hotel Transylvania 3D was second at the box office. Pitch Perfect was third, then Looper and Frankenweenie in its debut, making $11.5 million, which was good enough to put it fifth on the list. End of Watch was sixth. Trouble with the Curve, House at the End of the Street, The Master, and Finding Nemo 3D. Running at your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Apparently, it is the new hip thing to do on stage. All the kids are doing it. Justin Bieber, of course, threw up during his tour opener in Glendale, Arizona. Now this weekend, Lady Gaga followed suit Saturday on stage in Barcelona.
Vomit.
She was singing The Edge of Glory. Well,
and by singing.
By singing, I mean the her song track, The Edge of Glory, was playing, and apparently she was lip-syncing and dancing to it because as she was mid-dance, she just unleashed all over the set. Here's the thing.
Is this a trend?
I gotta tell you, she, God bless her, danced through it.
Agreed.
She would bend over and just projectile vomit, but her arms going. She kept with the choreography.
Wow.
She just had her back to it, and she would go again, and then she didn't miss a beat, this Lady Gaga.
could not do that.
It helps that she's not singing, but having said that...
You're trying dance and vomit at the same time. Whoever was singing, she was dancing and vomiting. That's remarkable.
It's pretty good.
The level of concentration it takes to maintain your choreography and the beat while taking breaks to vomit is superhuman.
Well, yeah, because when you vomit, usually you are...
Body tenses up, you go into convulsions.
There's nothing you can do.
And your mind's not exactly on, oh, what's my next move in this dance sequence?
Yeah, you're right. That's impressive.
She tweeted, by the way, was praying no one saw it, but actually it is quite a good laugh if you need one. She said, referring to the YouTube video now that's out of it. And she really did try to hide it. She had her back turned, and she would do it all, like, off the side of the catwalk there on the stage where she was doing it.
Quickly. But it was just a shotgun.
But I'm telling you, she got right back into the dance, and I have to give her mad props for that.
It looks like we're going to get a reversal. Oh, no! We've got vomit!
Here's the thing, performers. If you're feeling unwell, maybe delay the show a little bit. Take care of business or call it quits early or explain to the audience that you need to go to the...
There's so many people.
It takes so much effort, so much money to get there.
I'm sure they feel
you
bad.
Have to admire them for going...
Do you think the audience wants to see that?
Well, I don't...
Are they giving the audience their money's worth?
I don't know.
By staying on stage and vomiting in front of them?
I think it's admirable that she feels like throwing up and she's at least going out and trying. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe the audience loves it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm old-fashioned in my opinion of what entertainment is. But I can remember as a youth saying, oh, God, I hope Springsteen vomits on stage tonight.
It would have been the best night of your life.
No, I don't think it would have been.
You would have remembered that forever.
It would have been seared into my brain as a horrible sight forever, yes. But it wasn't like what I looked for.
I am down with the people.
If someone had come to me and said, I'm sorry, Bruce has to shave a half an hour off his three-hour show tonight because he needs to go vomit, I would have been like, you know what? Okay, I'm okay with that. Take care, boss. Hope you feel better. That's what I would have said.
Take a small break.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, there's a bunch of them. I'm just going to burn through them. Angus T. Jones of Two and a Half Men celebrates a birthday today. Bruno Mars. Nick Cannon from America's Got Talent. The model and actress Christina Loken. Matt Damon. Jeremy Davies. Emily Proctor. Daryl Hammond. Sigourney Weaver. Chevy Chase. And minister, activist, and presidential candidate Jesse Jackson celebrates a birthday today.
Hi, this is Reverend Jesse Jackson. You listen to Kevin and Bear on K-Rock LA.
Happy birthday from the Kevin and Bear Show, Reverend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Andrew Siciliano is on the phone. He is the ringmaster of the greatest show on earth on the Red Zone on DirecTV. And, of course, you'll see him on the NFL Network this afternoon. Total access at 4. Hey, Andrew. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys.
Ooh, he's got a sexy voice on today.
He always has his phone sex voice on the day after.
Whatever. I haven't really spoken. I've been up for like an hour drinking coffee. And you know, you have that when you open your mouth for the first time.
Sure.
You don't know what's coming out.
Well, it's sexy. Yeah. I can tell you that right now.
You're just trying to make all of us sound bad. That's all.
You're handsome, man.
Andrew, so much ground to cover. Let's hit a few of the highlights. I don't think there was a dry eye in the house in Indianapolis with that game yesterday. Tell folks the backstory of what was going on off the field that made that remarkable comeback so wonderful yesterday.
Listen, we blow things out of proportion sometimes in sports, and we like to paint these tear-jerking storylines just to somehow draw you in. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's part of the reason why we all love this and why sports can move you to such incredible emotions. Chuck Pagano is the coach of the Colts. He likely won't coach again this season. He's in an Indianapolis hospital a couple of blocks down the street from the stadium. He's fighting leukemia. He turned 52 Tuesday. 52? Right. 52
wow.
years old. He's fighting leukemia. He's probably going to be in the hospital for 6 weeks. And beyond that, it would be a shock if he's actually back on the sideline this year. So they diagnosed it during the bye week last week. They tell his team on Monday he's in the hospital. They hand the keys to Bruce Arians, who's a longtime assistant. He was a Steelers offensive coordinator for many years. He himself is a cancer survivor, beat prostate cancer in 2007. So the Colts go out there, they face the Packers. They're not supposed to win this game. They're down 21-3 at the half.
Wow.
And then they put together a remarkable 30 minutes of football, and Andrew Luck, with the game on the line and 5 minutes left, drives his team down the field in one of the more miraculous, I shouldn't use that word, one of the more amazing drives you will ever see, a drive that I said yesterday, they're going to be talking about 3 years. I mean, when Andrew Luck retires, whether it's the Canton for the Hall of Fame, or whether it's the head back home to West Virginia as a nice quarterback who made a couple of Pro Bowls, they will be telling stories about this drive. And then Green Bay gets a shot And because Aaron Rodgers is pretty good, they actually got him in field goal range, and the kick comes off Mason Crosby's foot, and they are inside with the roof closed. But that thing looked like it hit a brick wall and just died. And
it was divine intervention, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an amazing win.
I mean, certainly emotional for Indianapolis, and it's great to see the promise of Andrew Luck. But what must it be like for the Packers right now, having this game, you know, after some bad calls last week and then a week before, of course, with the terrible Monday night officiating? They must just feel cursed this year.
They probably feel as if the world is against them. But I'll say this, they have been handling it. You know, aside from the anger that Monday night in Seattle and then some of the vitriol the next day as well, they've handled it pretty well. I mean, Mike McCarthy, their coach, came out this week. He actually called the referee, who we all think screwed up the call, but who was on the CBS pregame show and was adamant yesterday that he did not screw up the call.
What?
But he actually reached out to the guy, called him at home and told him hang in there and said all the nice things. I mean, he did it on his own.
The ref that did it is saying he didn't make a mistake?
Yeah, the ref that did it was on the CBS pregame show, and I'm watching Nine Things at Once trying to get ready for our show, but unless I heard him incorrectly,
wow.
He pretty much said he made the right call.
A glimmer of hope, perhaps, for the New Orleans Saints, and talk about Drew Brees for a minute. What a night.
Well, it's funny because, well, first of all, no one can debate that it's an amazing record. I guess there was some debate last night as to how significant the record is. He broke Johnny Unitas' record, which stood for like 50 years, for most consecutive games with a touchdown pass. He's now thrown a touchdown pass in 48 straight games.
By the way, I think that's
incredible.
It is. You see records fall all the time, but very seldom do you see records that have stood for 50 years fall.
Right, right. You know, someone a couple of weeks ago rather compared it to Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. I don't think it's comparable in my eyes because no one has come even close to Joe DiMaggio.
Well,
and I guess no one had come close to Johnny Unitas either. But Tom Brady, in all likelihood, Tom Brady is going to get there as well early next season.
That's the thing that takes, what, at least 4 years in the NFL.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's 16 games a year. I mean, do the math. He's now done it in 48 straight games.
That's crazy.
But the story here is that the Saints won, and they're 1-4. They beat the Chargers. He beat his old team, the team that didn't want him back. And he did so to give them the first win. And look, there's only one team that's ever come back from 0-4 to make the playoffs. It was the 92 Chargers, by the way.
Ah.
And I don't think the Saints can make the playoffs. But it sets up a good storyline here. We said this a million times. No team has ever played in its own building in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was in New Orleans this year.
Right.
No one thinks the Saints are going to make the Super Bowl. They don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, it would take a miracle for them to make the playoffs. But with the national TV lights on last night and with his old coach allowed to be in the building watching from upstairs, Drew Brees broke the record and at least took that first step towards potentially writing an amazing story.
I don't know how the games are selected, which one is going to be the Sunday night football game of the week, but NBC and the NFL every weekend managed to end the weekend on an unbelievable game. They've been so lucky with the games that they have picked so far this year, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and there's a good one tonight. I mean, look, you saw the Falcons go to 5-0 yesterday for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And the Texans try to do it tonight. They try to go to 5-0 for their first time ever.
That game's 5:30 on ESPN?
Exactly. The Texans are as complete a game, or to complete a team, maybe, you know, the Niners would argue, as there is out there. And tonight, I don't want to get you guys excited because it's early, but tonight could be the unveiling of the Tebow.
Woo!
I mean, tonight,
all right.
It could be.
Praise Jesus!
It could be Tebow time tonight.
So they're giving up this early?
Well, it's week five. They're not. Well, look, in Mark Sanchez's defense, if you want to defend him, Santonio Holmes is out. Dustin Keller is banged up. Sean Green isn't the guy we saw 3 years ago in the playoffs.
So they're just saying, give it to Tim, let him run.
It's kind of, some people think that it's time to just scrap it and say, here you go, Timmy, put your head down and try to work some magic. It's that Sarah Silverman show, Tebow is Magic, right?
That's right. That was her movie, right. Can't do any worse than last week. All right, before we let you off the line here, Andrew Siciliano, of course, NFL Total Access this afternoon at 4 on the NFL Network. A few words, please, on your Cleveland Browns.
And you say my because I was raised a Browns fan. And,
yes. I know you root for them. Will they ever win a game, I guess, is the question.
Look, Trent Richardson has shown some pretty amazing signs, and Brandon Whedon has as well. But,
so, no?
I don't know. Who do they get? They get the Bengals next? They could beat the Bengals.
Doesn't matter.
The Bengals aren't that good. I mean, well, defensively, they are.
Hey, the Bengals lost to Miami. They'll lose to anyone.
Was it the Bengals, and then...
It's all right.
I'm not holding my breath.
Andrew, it's all right. We're just giving you a hard time. It's okay, man.
It's just sad. Look, we've all rooted for bad teams before. We all know what it's like to have a team you love. Look, my Seattle Mariners haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. I know what it's like to suck, but it's just it's good that it's you and not us this time around. That's all.
Hey, Kev, I was at the Cardinal game Thursday.
So. Oh, were you?
Yeah, not to rub it in.
No, that didn't rub it in at all. Thanks, Andrew. Hey, we scored three.
They have no offense other than that Larry Fitzgerald guy who's going to the Hall of Fame.
I think we've all heard each other now. It's time to get off the phone. NFL Total Access this afternoon at 4 and Sundays. Never miss Andrew Siciliano on the Red Zone on DirecTV. Thank you, Andrew. We enjoyed it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
How fun were the Black Keys last week, by the way, and how great was that song live in the Red Bull Soundspace?
They were great. They
were great. We do have some highlights of that up at kevinandbean.com if you want to check that out. Ralph joins us now. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
I wanted to squeeze in a moment with first, but I...
Oh, feel free.
Go ahead. I think this is from when you were gone, Ralph, and this is just super good for Bean.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We're talking about The Walking Dead, which returns on AMC this Sunday night.
A week from Sunday.
A week from Sunday. I apologize.
October 14th.
On AMC. We're going to have David Morrissey in next hour, who plays the governor. Who is a new...
What the hell's wrong with you?
He got issues.
That was a moment with Bean.
So that was recorded last week. It does come back this Sunday, but when he said it, it wasn't.
Right, and David Morrissey was not due up the next hour?
That's correct.
No, it was this week
we're going to talk to him.
Oh, okay.
So it was a little off.
I accept your score.
You got the network. Come on.
Yeah, and the name of the show was right. Come on. All right, here's Ray. It's time for the Showbiz Blast.
Oh, Showbiz Blast. I like that. Maybe we should change it. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office since it is Monday morning, and that's what we do on Monday mornings. Taken 2, as expected, was number 1 at the box office this weekend with $50 million.
Old dude came in my theater, sat down a little ways over from me and said, "What's this about?"
Oh, really?
And the lady next to him was like, "It's a guy and his daughter, you know, gets taken or whatever." And he's like, "Is it violent?" And he asked like 60 questions in a row. I'm like, what?
Who walks into a theater without knowing what they're going to see?
He's in the theater asking these questions.
That's maddening.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
I was like, you were answering his questions
you
the best
had
you could?
The woman next to him. But it went on for, I don't know, a minute and a half before the movie came on. I was just thinking, what are you in here? If you don't know anything about it, why would you buy a ticket and come into this theater?
But you didn't say anything.
No.
Because you're a polite person.
I beat him up. He was in a wheelchair, so I hit him.
If it had been an 8-month pregnant-year-old woman, would you have given her your seat in the theater?
Nope.
If you
No, I would not have. I don't know her explanation either.
What a dick. Hotel Transylvania, second at the box office. Pitch Perfect was third, then Looper and Frankenweenie. End of Watch, Trouble with the Curve, House at the End of the Street, The Master, and Finding Nemo 3D. What you said just reminded me of a story. Kevin Smith and I were in Reno, Nevada this weekend doing our 100th episode of Hollywood Babylon.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we played a hotel casino in Reno. Called the El Dorado, and it was really a good weekend, nice time, and the people there were very kind, and we had a great crowd. But the next day, Sunday morning, I was down in the sports book watching football, betting on a couple games, and an older gentleman comes out of the elevator as I was making my way to the bathroom, and he said, "Hey, wait a minute, you were on the stage last night, weren't you? Weren't you on that show last night on the stage?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "What the hell was that?" I'm like, "Excuse me?" He said, "Did those people in there pay to see that show?" I said, yeah, they did. Those were people who listened to our show. We do the show on the internet, and now we're touring with it. He goes, "Oh, because I just stumbled drunk into the theater. I made a wrong turn and just ended up drunk in that theater. I just took a seat. I just sat down. You guys are pretty funny." Hey, this guy's like 60.
It's a hell of a story.
It was a hell of a story, but
I didn't pay for it, but you were good.
Yeah. It's like, "Oh, no, okay. I just want to know what the hell that was. I couldn't really figure out what was going on."
I just came from a movie where a guy and his family stolen.
Saw two guys sitting on stage, and he stumbles drunkenly into the showroom and
yelling at you.
It was
hey, what is that?
You were up on a stage last night. What was that? I guess there were no dancing girls or puppies balancing on balls or anything, so we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
This is great news. Finally, a reality show I can get behind. ABC announces Celebrity Splash.
Yeah! Celebrity Splash.
Wait, what is that?
Yeah. Hold on with the kids.
The kids aren't sure yet.
Celebrity Splash.
What is Celebrity Splash?
It's celebrities Splash. Doing competitive diving.
No. That is an astonishing decision
Come
in my view.
Come on now.
Come on, Kevin.
Come on.
You want to see celebrities performing dives from dizzying heights, increasing in a degree of difficulty each week, including backflips, somersaults, and other gymnastic feats.
No.
What celebrities?
No. I'm sure it'll be Dancing with the Star level B celebrities diving from a 10-meter board.
I might have to watch one episode of
that. Of course you will, because you know they'll be horrible, and there will be belly flops galore.
I hope.
And hopefully a broken neck. Hopefully Kirstie Alley will just snap her neck as she pikes into the pool at a wrong angle. Just they take her out on a stretcher. Celebrity Splash!
Yeah, I think I'd have to check that.
That's what I'm saying. Because you know they won't be good.
No, that's true.
It's not easy diving off of a high
board.
No,
turns out it isn't.
And they're going to try to train these people and make them do it on television.
Ryan Gosling.
I don't know what that means. I don't think it is. No. That would have been better if we asked who's going to be on the show at that point, and then you played Ryan Gosling instead of 4 minutes previous.
I don't think it's too late if you want to.
Who do you think they're going to put on the
Ryan
show?
Ryan Gosling.
No, I don't think Ryan's going to be on the show. Let's get this show over with.
No, get off this show
after this story. Lady Gaga,
yes.
not to be outdone by Justin Bieber, had decided, oh yeah, watch me, I can throw up on stage too, she said this weekend. She was in Barcelona on Saturday night. Or Barfalona, as I like to call it.
Woo!
Yes! Yes!
Thank you. Get out
Barcelona!
Of here.
Yes.
Magnificent! How yes. Do you like them apples? They would make Barbara Walters cry.
Thank you.
Ingenious!
Thank you. So much. Thank you.
It's absolute perfection. It is absolute
Thank
genius.
You. Thank you so
as
much.
Clean as a whistle.
Thank you.
As good as it gets.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thanks so much.
Hope that's good enough to get me on Celebrity Splash.
She was singing the 23rd song of her 24-song set.
Oh, so close.
So close to be able to get to her dressing room and throw up like a civilized person.
And what do you mean by singing?
Well, she was lip-syncing.
Okay.
To a song track, and she was dancing her butt off there. And for, I guess something was not right. She had the bad calamari or something, and she started projectile vomiting on her set.
Oh.
However, unlike Justin Bieber, who just crouched, just stood there and crouched and emptied the contents of his stomach onto stage, Lady Gaga kept dancing throughout. I watched the video, and as far as I can tell, there's three bouts of projectile vomiting, and she continues to stay in step with the choreography all along the way, and I was very impressed by that. So congratulations to Gaga. She actually had a good sense of humor about it. How can you not, I guess, when everyone watches you throw up on stage? Tweeting regards to the YouTube video that's out there of it. Was praying nobody saw, but actually it's quite a good laugh if you need one. So she is sending you there herself to take a look.
I tweeted it as well, so everybody can watch her.
The second time you got the link right, right?
Third.
Third time you got the link right?
I deleted it. Actually, I deleted it three times.
What is the challenge with you and tweeting links to things? Because it seems it takes you from 3 to 6 times before you can actually tweet something where the link works to whatever you're tweeting about.
I can't tell you. I really don't.
It's remarkable.
Somebody,
the consistency with which you have a hard time tweeting links.
Somebody tweeted me that watching me try to tweet a link is like watching a monkey tweet. It's just, I don't know. I take it down 3-4 times before it actually works.
Wow.
But at least I take it. At least I'm trying to get it to work.
I understand.
I used to not care.
What about the first time? Is it so hard for you to create a link on Twitter?
Dude.
No,
that's my point.
Oh, good point.
I'm done.
You did say dude.
Kevin, God damn it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Angus T. Jones of 2 1/2 Men is 19 years old today. Bruno Mars is 27. Have you seen his hair lately, that Bruno Mars?
I have not, no.
It's remarkable.
Pretty tall?
Yeah. Nick Cannon is 32 years old. Cristiano Loken Boy, is she hot. She's from the elk.
Whatever your butt. What the hell?
His bell's in his ass.
Not funny to you?
Come on, Bean. Give the drummer something.
I know, but
say anything. Say something. Nick Cannon from America's Got Talent is 32.
Who should be hosting that show less than him? Honestly, America has talent.
Khloe Kardashian. And
he's the worst of Mario all.
Yeah, well, maybe. Matt Damon's 42. Jeremy Davies of Lost and Justified is 43. Emily Proctor from CSI Miami is 44. Daryl Hammond, very funny actor and impressionist, 57. Sigourney Weaver's 36. Nope, 63. Chevy Chase is 69 years old. And the Reverend Jesse Jackson, minister, activist, former presidential candidate. He is 71 years old today.
The long arm of justice. Mm-hmm. We've come a long way.
Yes.
We are making smoke,
yep,
mirrors,
what?
But for the moral center.
What the?
I know something.
Yes.
On July 17, 1984,
right,
America better.
What?
There was a left and right in slavery.
No, they're just...
But no moral center. But... No moral center.
What?
This Democratic convention,
yes,
is set $1 more an hour.
What?
I don't... But don't be fooled. Just look at the team.
I don't.
It's not just Bush. There are 1,000 union workers here,
yeah,
and an Orthodox Jew.
What?
This is America's dream team. Mushy Bush, one America, one flag.
I don't even Mushy understand. Bush. What don't,
did he say Bushy Bush?
He said Mushy Mushy Bush.
Mushy Bush, it sounded like.
Which is a sex move, actually. If you want to know what that is, you can go to my website, mushybush.com. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to talk to you dumpster divers tomorrow.
Remember, sorry, we had it. What happened?
Dumpster divers.
We're going to talk to them?
Yes. Remember, we had an intern that was a dumpster,
yes,
diver.
Yeah,
well, it was fascinating.
She was poor and hungry.
Yeah, but this Bean did a story about a millionaire that was a dumpster diver. That's how.
Well,
that's
he should
how,
be killed.
That's how he got his food. Or she, I forget.
She basically said that it broke her heart, Ralph, to walk by a dumpster thinking there would be delicious meals in there that are just waiting to be eaten that are going to waste. She just could not abide by that kind of waste.
So and she's a millionaire.
Yeah.
Yes. And she would
she's
eat the food.
Because she does, yes, that.
She didn't pull, yes, the food out and give it to homeless people.
No, no, no. She eats
she
it.
Would eat the food.
She would eat it.
That's,
yeah,
that's right. I stand by my she should be murdered comment.
Plus, Allison Eastwood and Donald Schultz will be here. We'll talk about animal interventions. So apparently if an animal's got a crack problem, they're going to
I'm not sure.
They're going to come
the
to him and they're going to put him into rehab.
I think.
And that's going to be good for the animal because then it'll get its life back.
I think this is people who are keeping bears and tigers and animals like that, and they're going around and trying to liberate them.
That's less fun. Mm. Just liberate them. Just set them free. Let them run.
I hope they've planned it out before they just open the gate.
The gate's open. Go.
Out into the city. Go. Plus, we're going to continue giving you a chance to tour SpaceX with Muse.
Thank God.
And if you missed us talking to Matt Bellamy, the lead singer, he explains it. So I think we're going to probably put that up on the website, or we'll put it on the Kevin and Bean.
I'm going to have to tune in and listen to that part.
Yes.
I don't understand why we're giving away SpaceX.
He's excited about it. That's all.
All right.
But you're going to get to go with Muse, and you're going to get to tour it. We'll give you another chance tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.